All right, guys. So for the past week or so, on the topics of many preachers, especially in the Watchman community, we've been talking about the subject of the judgment of God. Now, when we talk about the judgment of God, let me clarify this a little bit. We are talking about in the present hour, in the present age in which we're in, theologically speaking. We are talking about the selective judgments of God. This has been going on since the time that the Bible was written. We could go back to Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of the plains. We could talk about Nineveh. We could talk about cities in Jesus' day, wherein which he pronounced judgment upon three cities in Jerusalem, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, and even Jerusalem itself would later be judged in 70 AD with a Roman invasion in which they invaded the temple. They took many Jews captive. Even, listen to me, even innocent bystanders that were not wicked people, but they were still brought into captivity. They were brought into slavery. Many of them were slain. All of this was the judgment of God that was permitted and allowed upon nations, cities, that are all referenced in the Bible. Now, these are what we would call selective judgments. And from the time that those things were written, Paul said they were written for our admonition and to the ages that would come. That would be up us all the way up to this present hour. Now, when we talk about the wrath of God, these are two different things, the judgment of God and the wrath of God. The wrath of God, the Bible says, God reserves his wrath for his enemies. That's what Nahum says. Now, this does not involve the church. The church is not an enemy of God. When you go into the tribulation period, you have the wrath of Satan and the wrath of God for a period of 7 years. That's, where do we get that? Daniel 9:27. There's 42 months, 3.5 years, 3.5 years. In that 7 year span, Revelation chapter 6, all the way on to about the last probably two chapters of the Bible, you've got a span of time where in which the wrath of God and the wrath of Satan is being poured out. Okay? But don't miss it. Let's just take Satan out of the equation for a minute. But God himself is pouring out his wrath upon the world. Why? The Bible tells us why. It is because their iniquity has become full, the transgression has become full, and God has no choice but as a righteous and true judge that he must act accordingly. That's in there. So we're not in the tribulation right now. We are present hour. We are in the birth pangs of the Messiah. And because of this, we've covered this many times. Disasters are going to increase. Lawlessness is going to increase. The unrest, the pestilence, the plagues, all these things are going to increase because they are birth pangs. They're in travail. But I believe, listen, when the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, come on, we like a good preaching. When the preacher gets up and preaches that, and he equates it to blessings, and he equates it to the promises of God, and he equates it to the goodness of God. But we fail to remember that the same Christ that blesses also allows curses. The same God that brings favor is the same God who also allows disfavor. The same God who puts his hand of blessing and his hand of favor upon a nation is the same God who can remove his hand of favor and blessing from a nation. Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26 said that all of these blessings shall come upon you and the nations that obey, heed, and do according to the word of God. But if they do not, the latter part says that all of these curses shall come upon a nation. And it's not just Israel, it's any nation, any nation. We act like just because America is not Israel, that God completely just doesn't, when he looks down from heaven, he can't find America anywhere on the planet. Well, where's America? Because I only recognize Israel, so I don't know where America is. I don't know where Britain is. I don't know where Australia is. I don't, come on, guys. Let's again, open your eyes. Now, why am I talking about this? Because again, we could sit here and talk about different levels of judgment, and we could talk about different theological layers and keep peeling layers back and back and back and back. But today, I want to show you a different side of the judgment of God that, in my opinion, is far more terrifying. And now I leave this before we're getting ready to take a break here in a second, and we'll be right back, and we're going to finish this thought. I want you to think about this. What if there is people walking around, a lot of people, that are walking around in the name of God, in the name of Christianity, call themselves believers. They go to church. They are part of an organization. They're part of a denomination. And yet, they are under the judgment of God, and they don't even realize it. Let me say that again. They're going through the motions. They have been fired a long time ago, but they're still on the clock, but they've been fired. They've been disqualified. They're already under the judgment of God. It just hasn't fully made manifest yet. And I'm going to show you today that this is probably one of the most terrifying thoughts, in my opinion, that we have talked about and discussed, at least on our program, in quite a long time. So buckle up, because this is going to be a deep word. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Wednesday, January 15th. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. I am Ricky Scaparro, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines, and this is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And listen, if this is your first time joining us, be a part of our program. Wherever you're coming from, whatever social media platform, maybe somebody invited you in, whatever the case may be, we want to officially welcome you in the chat, welcome you in the comments on whatever platform you're listening from. And listen, we want to welcome you, not only us or myself, but we have admins here on YouTube. If you're watching by YouTube, that they're going to give you a warm welcome. And we just want to say we love you already. Welcome home. And we pray that you'll be blessed and encouraged and equipped by our ministry. And we just want to forewarn you guys, we're not ear ticklers. We're not here to tickle your ears, but we are here to equip you. We are here to encourage you, and we are here to give you understanding of the times and seasons in which we're in. And that's what we're going to do today. Before we get started, can you help us out? Everyone watching, listening to the program, can you give us a like? Hit that like button. Go ahead and hit that bell notification. Hit that subscribe button. This is going to help you out by keeping you informed of when we go and do these programs. And it's also going to help us out by getting us out there on these algorithms. And you can take it a step further. If you don't have our app, you can pick it up today. It's free at Apple or Android. Just go there, type in End Time Headlines. You'll see our official ETH logo if you're watching. That's what it looks like right there on your screen. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're good to go. Every headline, every podcast, every breaking news, prophecy, viewpoint, everything's going to be right at your fingertips. All right, guys, if you have your Bible, I am going to be in Romans chapter 1, and then I'm going to swing over there to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we are going to be using a different translation than I normally use. Typically, I use a New King James translation, and sometimes I'll go into King James, but today, we're going to simplify this, because I like the wording of how this brings this out, especially in the context of our discussion today. We're going to be using the New Living Translation. All right. So again, we are in Romans chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 18, and we're going to read from there. Again, Romans 1:18, New Living Translation. Let me pull it up. And here we go. And as we read on, guys, we're going to break some stuff down here. Oh, but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky, and through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. This is very important when we move forward here. Yes, they knew God, but they would not worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. They are breaking they're breaking one of the Ten Commandments. They're creating a God in their own image. Let me say it again. They began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And guys, here we are. We're thousands of years later since Paul wrote this, since he wrote this epistle here in the book of Romans, and we're still seeing this every single day. Celebrities do this, famous people do this, and even, listen to me, even preachers and pastors do this. They create a God in their image. They create a God in the image and the likeness of what appeases them and what makes them happy and what comforts them. Watch this. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. I want to say that again. You're going to hear me repeat stuff all the time. Listen, Jesus said, and again I say unto you, and again I say unto you, so we're going to have to repeat this, because you've got to get this down today, because this is very important, because it's going to open your eyes to some things today that's very sobering. Because they begin to make a God in their own image, as a result of this, Paul said their minds became dark and confused. Now, hit me up in the chat. I'd love to hear from you. How many believes that we live in a world that's filled with darkness and confusion? Look around, turn on the television, go in public, listen to the news, watch the news, get on social media, look at the comments. Even among Christians, my friends, there is darkness and confusion that is running rampant. And Paul said the very root of this is because they don't truly know the God of heaven. Now, they may claim they know God, or they may say, as Paul said, past tense, they knew God. And although they knew God, the God of the Bible was not enough. The God of the Bible did not satisfy their need. The God of the Bible didn't meet up to their qualifications. So thus they've come up with these foolish ideas of what their God is like and what they want as God. And because of this, their minds have become dark and confused. Now watch this. Verse 22, claiming to be wise, they instead become utter fools. This is Gnosticism 101. People who think they have a higher capacity of knowledge, deeper revelation than anyone else out there. I'll be the first to tell you, I am a sponge when it comes to information of the Word of God. I purposely put myself in a position where I sit under more seasoned men and women of God who can pour into my life, who can teach me. Listen, you always want to remain humble and teachable. None of us have ever arrived. And listen, if you think that you have met somebody that is extremely knowledgeable in the Word of God, I can promise you there's going to be somebody else out there that's going to be far even more knowledgeable than you or for that person or whatever the case may be. So I love that. And I believe God created us for that, because that's why Paul said it's deep calls unto deep. There's like these layers of God. There's not just you can get your toes wet, then you can get the ankle deep, then you can get knee deep, then you can get waist deep, and then you can get up to your neck or your shoulders, and then you can get completely submerged into the Word of God. And so here is And I love what it says here. Watch this. Let me go back here. These people claim to be wise. They may have degrees in theology. Listen, it's amazing to me. You turn on the History Channel and you've got all these history Christian professors, a professor and religion, a professor in this. You've got somebody that has a doctrinal theological degrees and all this stuff, but yet they still seem to only know the elementary principles of Christ. They don't understand deep things of God. Because many of these people, guys, they don't even have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They have a very surface level. They understand the baptism of John, but they have no understanding of the baptism of Jesus. Now, when I said that right there, guys, some of you, it just went right over your head. Now, and I'm sorry, but I don't have time to explain all that. We've done this on other, go back and listen to our archives. I promise you, we've covered this stuff. Watch this. Instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Now, this is idolatry. When we talk about idolatry, guys, this is the depiction that everybody will get. It's some type of wooden carved image that's got eyes that's been made by men. It's got a mouth that looks like it can talk, but it can't see. It's got eyes to see, but it can't see. It's got mouth to speak, but it doesn't speak. It's got ears, but it can't hear. We think of places like India or Indonesia or Haiti or somewhere overseas, some indigenous tribe that's molded a god out of rock and stone and wood. And that is what this is talking about here. They worship these idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Okay, and all these things are doing is they're a magnet for demonic spirits. Demons are attracted to these things because they're worshipped. These people groups, they'll give blood offerings, literally sacrificial offerings. The Mayans did this. They'll give child sacrifices to these things. They'll give gifts to these things. And Paul says later on in his writings into the church of Corinth, he said they're not worshiping so-called gods, little g, but they're merely worshiping demons. They're sacrificing the demons. Okay, I got to go on here. Verse 24. So listen to this as a result. Now, let me get back to the idolatry. But listen here. Let me talk to my American brothers and sisters. We may not have a carved image of Buddha. Now, some of you may have, and you need to get it out of your home. Listen, some of y'all got stuff in your home and you wonder why you've got sickness and you've got poverty and you've got division and strife and discord, and there's anger and there's confusion and there's all this stuff going on in your home. You may have to do a spiritual evaluation. I call it a Holy Ghost house sweeping or cleaning, and look for things that attract demons. I mean, this is, guys, what I'm telling you right now is spiritual warfare 101. You may need to get rid of dream catchers, Ouija boards, anything that's used in the occult or witchcraft or New Age, Harry Potter novels. And the list goes on, guys. All these candles that are burnt to pray to a dead saint. This stuff is not biblical, and you're attracting demons. So listen, we may not have most Christians, most people that are listening to this podcast, they're not going to have a Buddha statue. They're not going to have a Confucius. They're not going to have a molded image of Muhammad. And listen, even pictures of Jesus, so-called Jesus, this is a form of, in my opinion, it's a form of a graven image, which, again, God warns about this stuff. So we got to be careful with this stuff because you're literally playing with fire here. But watch this. But our main idolatry, if we would, in America is, I think it's in the form of entertainment. We have made entertainment our idol. Now, what this is, take your pick. It can be sports entertainment. It can be wrestling entertainment. It can be anything with Hollywood, celebrities, gossip. I mean, some of y'all know more about celebrities than you know about the apostles. Some of y'all can give more stats on basketball players and you can't quote five scriptures of the Bible. Are you hearing me? That's idolatry. Anything that you put on the throne of God, you take God off the throne and you put that thing above God, that's idolatry. Okay, so these things anger God. These things anger God. When you try to make a God that fits into your schedule, you create a God that condones a lifestyle that the Bible calls an abomination or a sin. What you've done is you've broken one of the commandments of God. You've created a God in your image. And you now have created your own God that condones your lifestyle instead of condemns your lifestyle. And because of these things, guys, look what it says here. Let me go back to the Bible. Again, we're in the New Living Translation. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. Whoa, guys, stop. That, my friends, is a terrifying thought. Let me say that again. God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. I don't think you're getting this. Let me elaborate a little bit deeper. Have you ever wondered, and I'm sure you have, how are these people getting away with what they're getting away with? How is so much stuff happening in the body of Christ from ministries and ministers and so-called apostles and bishops and evangelists and prophets and prophetesses and teachers and pastors? Come on, did I leave anybody else out there? How are they committing shameful acts? Adultery. How are they committing fornication? How are they living a homosexual lifestyle that is called an abomination? And I'm going to show you some articles today, guys, and we're going to bring this home today. And it's happening. And you say, my goodness, how is God allowing this to get away? How are they getting away with this? How are they not? How is there no fear of God in their eyes? How can they not fear God when they're living a lifestyle that's contradictive of the Bible? How can they go on living a lifestyle that God calls an abomination, that he judged entire cities and wiped them out and burned them to the ground in ashes, and yet they live a lifestyle and they openly promote this, and it seems like nothing's happening to them, and they're permitted to go on and do nothing and have no consequences to this? That's what we're showing you here, guys. Let me go back. Watch this. So remember everything we've said before we got to this. Now God, because of all this, remember, they've created a God in their image and their likeness that condones their lifestyle. And because of this, their minds have become dark and confused. Now they claim to be wise. They claim to be experts in the scripture, and they can interpret theological understandings, and they will come up with every excuse of what condones their lifestyle, even though it contradicts the Bible. They'll seek out and find an interpretation that has been created by apostates and false prophets and false teachers and people that has been succumbed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, who's created these translations that condone lifestyles and not condemn them. They'll seek them out. They'll seek all these translations and they'll claim to be wise, but God says they become utter fools. And as a result of this, watch this, God abandons them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desire. In other words, he'll get to a point, I believe, listen, I'm going to make a statement here, and I believe this with all my heart. I believe all of these individuals, remember Paul said, although they knew God, they turned from God. So at one point or another, they had conviction. At one point or another, the Holy Spirit was dealing with them. The Holy Spirit was drawing them to repentance. But watch this, something happened along the way. And when Paul said their minds became dark and became confused, it was because they opened up the door. Here we go, and I'm going to show you this. We're putting a lot of stuff together today, guys. 1 Timothy chapter 4, New Living Translation. Look at this. Same guy wrote this, the Apostle Paul. Listen to what he says. Verse 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times or the last days, look at what it says. Some will turn away from the true faith. Now, okay, let's read on. They will follow deceptive spirits. Your Bible says seducing spirits. And your translation, if you're reading the King James or New King James, they will follow seducing spirits and teachings that come from demons. Again, New King James, King James calls it doctrines of demons. The wording is exactly the same. So you see that? There's going to be people in the church. Again, Paul is not talking about people here that are in the world. He's talking about people that are in the body of Christ that will fall away. They'll turn away from the true faith because they're being led away by deceptive spirits and teachings that come straight from demons. Now, I want to go back. Let's go back over here to, let me go back to the New King James. Now, watch this. Look what happens here. They speak lies and hypocrisy, and their own conscience has become seared with a hot iron. Guys, this completely agrees with Romans chapter 1. God abandons them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desire. Now let's read on. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. Hello? You think it's happening today? They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. Verse 26, that is why God abandoned them to, look at this, he abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have relations, instead indulged in relations with each other. That would be called lesbianism. And the men, instead of having normal relations with women, they burned with lust for one another. Men did, your Bible calls it shameful things. That's not Brother Ricky's opinion. That's what God says. These men turned from the natural affection of women, and they burned for lust for one another and did shameful things with other men. Now listen to this. As a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Wow. Look at this. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that they should never be done. In other words, are you hearing what this preacher's saying today? I'm telling you that, listen, God is, he's just lifting his restraint off of them, and he's just letting them go on and live this lifestyle. And this is absolutely terrifying. I don't know if this may not scare you, but this terrifies me to think about this for these people. Think about these people are so, they have been deceived by doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. Now, who are you talking about, preacher, when you say these people? Well, we're going to show you in just a minute. Let me go back to this. Let me finish this out, because I had to do all this to build a foundation. Keep this in mind. God has abandoned these people to their foolish thinking and is allowing, he's giving them over to do these things. Their lives become full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, gossip. They're backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, boastful. They invent new ways of sinning. Boy, are we not seeing that today. They disobey their parents. They refuse to understand. They break their promises. They're heartless. They have no mercy. Now look at this. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Yet they do them anyway. And yet worse, they encourage others to do so as well. Why are they doing that, Brother Ricky? Because God got to a point where he dealt with them. He convicted them. He was going after them. He was trying to, come on, he was trying to reason with them, but they rejected him. They rejected the Holy Spirit. They rejected the voice of God. They have rejected the word of God, and they wanted a God in their image and their likeness that condoned their lifestyle that the Bible calls shameful and disgraceful and an abomination. And eventually, and I don't know, don't ask me when this threshold is, I'm not God, but I'm telling you guys, there's a point you can cross where God gives you over to a reprobate mind. And when that happens, you will no longer feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Thus, it fulfills what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, your conscience becomes seared with a hot iron. And my friend, this is a form of judgment. Because watch this, these people will go the rest of their lives, however long God permits them to live, and they will go the rest of their lives, and they will continue sinning, and they will encourage others to sin. They will invent evil ways to sin. They will, come on, they will cause little ones to stumble. They will influence society. They will influence children. They will influence others to sin. And they, listen, when I say they, I'm not talking about, we're not talking about the world here. The world, we know the world is in hostility towards God. We know that the world is lost. The Bible says the entire world is under the sway of the wicked one. If the gospel be hid or veiled, it is hid to those who the God of this age has blinded, lest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine upon them. Today, I'm talking about the church, the ecclesia, people that call themselves, whatever you want to call them, whatever position you want to give them. They're in the church, in the body, in the ecclesia, and they're not living a sanctified life. They're not, and I'm not talking, listen guys, I'm not talking about people, let's talk about all of us. I'm not talking about all of the majority of us, who, because listen, think about this guys. If any of us were given over to a reprobate mind, we wouldn't even be watching this podcast. We wouldn't be listening to this because you would have no desire to listen to this because you wouldn't want to be hearing the things of God or living or how to live a life for God. You would have no interest in it. Okay, so don't. I just want to let everybody rest at ease. If you're listening to this, you're watching this, it's because you've not been given over to a reprobate mind. But I'm talking about, listen, there is people out there that will call themselves believers, Christians, Pentecostals, Charismatics, Baptists, Independent Baptists, Charismatic, whatever. You can put whatever title you want on it. And they've got high positions in the church. They can be a pastor. They can be a priest. They can be a pope. They can be a bishop. Whatever you want to call it, a prophet, a prophetess, and their lifestyles are contradictory of what the apostles told us to live, the word of God told us to live, and how Jesus told us to live. Yet they, again, they will make excuses to live their lifestyle because why? Because they have been seduced by doctrines of demons. And now their conscience is seared with the hot iron, so they continue on sinning and leading others astray. Now we're going to get to some headlines. Look at this headline. A black LGBTQ Connecticut pastor leads nearly 600 New England churches. Yes, that, ladies and gentlemen, you heard that correctly. A black LGBTQ Connecticut pastor leads nearly 600 New England churches. Quote, he has a gift for all who need it. I'm going to read this article. This is from the Gazette Extra. The Reverend Daryl Goodwin is seeking those who have been estranged from hope. The leader of nearly 600 New England churches has recently launched a campaign to reach those in need of hope. Find hope now. It's a new take on the gospel, offering radical love, inclusion, and what he calls an extravagant welcome. Goodwin, who lives in Bloomfield, is the executive director of the Southern New England Conference of the United Church of Christ, which is a collection of 570 churches in Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts. The conference was formed 4 years ago when the state conferences voted to join together, and Goodwin was appointed to lead them. Yes, my friend, he is a reverend. He is a pastor. He is the, quote, first LGBTQ Black American person to lead a UCC conference. His selection, he said in an interview with the Hartford Courant, it is itself a message of welcome and affirming to members of marginalized communities. Now, guys, the reason why I took 20 minutes or so to read all those scriptures and break that down is now when I read these headlines, it's all going to make sense to you, because what we did was plow the ground and plant that seed, and now it's all going to make sense. Quote, Goodwin and his husband were married at Asylum Hill Congregational Church in Hartford in 2022 in a ceremony. Let me say that again. A man married another man, and it was ordained and blessed at a church in Hartford, Connecticut. And it was open to the public and live stream on the church's website. Wow. Wow. Quote, the fact that me and my husband could find a church in the heart of the city to be married with a packed sanctuary and a clergy person to do the ceremony and not just be willing but glad about it, and the church streamed it on the website, illustrates the, quote, depth of support the church offers. And that is, quote, for queer people and for people of color. I'm going to read this. The website, findhopenow.org, says this, quote, there is a place for you in this world, a place of, quote, radical inclusion, a place where no matter who you are or where you are in life's journey, you are welcome, a place of hope. Now, guys, again, this is absolutely terrifying, because on so many levels, you are laying a welcome mat for people to come in, and you are paving the way of the road to destruction with rose petals and nice fuzzy music and the warm and bubbly feeling. Everything sounds great. After all, it's a place. They got all the words right. It's a place where you can come no matter who you are, where you are in life's journey. You can come as you are. And friend, again, this is partially true. God wants us to come to him as we are, but he wants to radically transform us into his image and likeness, and not into our desired image and likeness. This is where this is wrong. And again, this, my friend, is the epitome of a doctrine of demons. It is seducing. It's seductive. Come on, wake up. All right, this is just one story, guys. Here, we've got more stuff to cover. I want to show you this. Let's take you to another report. All right, gay men will be allowed in seminary, but there is a caveat. And what is that? Let's read on here a little bit. Gay men will be allowed into the Roman Catholic seminaries to train to be priests, but they, quote, must observe celibacy according to Catholic doctrine that holds that non-practicing homosexuals are not sinners. This is the most asinine statement I've ever heard and read. Let me read that again in case you were as like bewildered as I was. Men who identify as homosexual will be allowed in the Roman Catholic seminaries to train to be priests. Yes, you heard that right. They will be permitted to train as priests, but they must observe celibacy according to Catholic doctrine that holds that non-practicing homosexuals are not sinners. The Italian Bishops' Conference said in new guidelines on Friday, to be admitted to the seminary, one must show from the beginning an orientation towards a celibate life. In this perspective, there will not be a barrier to homosexuals as such, but to those who practice homosexual acts. Guys, my head hurts. Oh, please, Lord, let it stop. In the formative process, when reference is made to homosexual tendencies, it is appropriate not to reduce discernment to this aspect alone. The objective of the formation of the candidate for the priesthood and the effective sexual sphere is the ability to accept as a gift to freely choose and to live responsibly or chastity and celibacy. It is reiterated instead that the church will deeply, while deeply respecting the people in question, cannot admit to the seminary and to the holy orders those who practice homosexuality. Guys, listen, if this ain't a slippery slope, I don't know what ain't. I'm just telling you right now, this is a major slippery slope. Look at this. Look here. Let me give you another spin to this. Look at this headline. Quote, Vatican opens the door to letting gay men pursue the priesthood in Italy. Oh, yeah, they're opening the door, all right. They're opening the door for seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Wow, guys, unbelievable. Wow. Look at this headline right here. Let me show you this. I don't subscribe to the Telegraph, so I can't read this whole article, but look, I can't even get past the headline. The headline says everything. The Bible is, quote, pro-trans. This comes from an Anglican campaign group that says that guidance suggests not everyone in Holy Scripture is cisgender and that some stories contain, quote, clear queer characters. Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Again, now that we read all that, guys, now this is all going to make more sense to you. I want to kind of close with this closing thought. This should not be surprising to you. Now, what is surprising to me, honestly, if I was to be shocked by anything, it's not this, because the Bible warned us. Luke 17, Jesus said, as it were in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. Guys, according to the book of Ezekiel, these type of the homosexuality and sexual abominations was prominent in the cities of the plains. This is what one of five sins that led to their destruction. So this doesn't shock me, because Paul talked about this. Peter talked about this. The prophets warned about this. Again, the Bible gives us a depiction or typology and shows us illustrations and parallels of this. So none of this should be surprising to me, to any of us, if we know the Bible. But you know what the most shocking element about this is? Is I want to ask you a question. I want you to be sincere. How many, these type of messages like this right here, how many pastors, preachers, churches out there will teach and preach on this? I'm on YouTube all the time, and I don't see hardly anybody talking about this. Nobody wants to talk about it. And I am beyond sick to death of the apathy in the body of Christ. I'm sick to death of the weak, spineless Christianity, especially from leadership. Oh, now we'll speak on politics. Well, and we'll clap and applaud pastors for being political, but why are we silent on them not being biblical? Let me say that again. We will stand to our feet and cheer and applaud them for being political, for whatever party they stand. But when they're silent on being biblical, we don't say anything about it. To me, silence speaks volumes. When I catch on, when I see a pastor, a preacher, an influencer, whatever, on a Christian influencer, whatever, when he talks about all of his topics or subjects, if he never talks about anything controversial, he never deals with sin, he never deals with judgment, he never deals with these abominations, he never talks about the falling away, he never talks about apostasy, he never talks about false prophets or any of this stuff, and he's silent on this stuff, that to me speaks volumes. Because the bottom line is, he knows and they know that they will be ostracized from their groups, their denominations, their little circles, their little influential groups that won't have them on their podcast, won't have them on their program, and won't have them around and seated at the table, because they don't want anything that rocks the boat. They don't want anything negativity. They just want people that will, they just want to bring in people onto their podcast that's going to make everybody feel good and warm and fuzzy and tickle their ears. So if you want to know, people has asked me, and again, I'm going to answer your question. People has asked me all the time, well, Brother Ricky, how come nobody has you on that much as a guest on their podcast? If you want to know, that's why. Because I talk about topics like this, and they don't like that. They don't want to, when somebody, if they have me on their show and somebody does research and they start digging into what I preach, what I teach, and they start looking at the archives and they see that I talk about something like this. Oh, well, because of the backlash they get. Now, I'm going to let you figure out where the backlash comes from. Let me ask you a question. What kind of Christians are these people that messages like this offend them? Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. It sounds like to me that in some shape or form, they have already been lured by seducing spirits. Now, they may not be succumbed to doctrines of demons yet, but they're already being seduced. Listen, you do know that the word seducing in the New Testament is not just in sexual in connotation. That's what we think of when we think of the word seducing. But the actual Greek word in 1 Timothy chapter 4, seducing, actually means to lure someone away from what is truth and pull them into what is error. So watch this. Because of what we've been fed with behind pulpits and seminaries, I call them cemeteries, and Christian television, all under the same umbrella of this progressive Christianity, this feel good, this seeker-friendly, seeker-sensitive movement that has completely poisoned the body of Christ, because they have been fed by this, when any preacher comes along or any watchman that comes along with this kind of a message and this kind of a strong word, they regurgitate it. It's like, listen, I've got kids. I try to get them to eat certain vegetables, and they put it up through their nose and they smell it and they almost want to throw up. And this is how many Christians respond because of what they have been fed and taught. Okay, so listen, this is terrifying. It's terrifying for me to think that there is people out there that has infiltrated the body of Christ, if you would, that has made their way into positions of leadership and that are leading people astray. And they don't even realize it, but they are under the judgment of God, because the day will come when they will give up their breath, and my friends, they will answer to a living God. And I'm going to tell you something. They may have the best billboards and the best campaigns and the best websites and the best sales pitches. And the best, they may have all the bells and whistles to attract people, and they got all the catchy phrases and the words, and oh, it's a place of inclusion, and it's a place that welcomes everybody, come as you are, do all this stuff. All that stuff ain't gonna matter, because when they stand before a living God, He is going to address what they taught, what they believed, what they preached. And does it line up with this word? And if it is contradictive of the word of God, my friends, then they are not going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in. They're going to hear, and watch this. This is where I want to close. This is what they're going to hear. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Look at this. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast demons out in your name? Have we not done many wonders in your name? And then he will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice iniquity. The King James says iniquity. The New King James says lawlessness. Friends, listen, there's a difference between sin and iniquity. Sinning is a struggle. We all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But those who practice iniquity are those who, what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1, they have made a lifestyle of sinning to the point where their conscience has become seared with a hot iron, and God just eventually gives them over to a reprobate mind. And watch, this is terrifying. So here they are. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So they're still prophesying. They're still laying hands on people. They're still seeing people get healed. They're giving prophetic words. They're doing the work of the ministry. They're doing all these things, but God has fired them a long time ago, but they're still working on the clock. But then when they die and they stand before God, if you would, he's going to say to them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Absolutely terrifying to think about this, guys. I want you, please let me know your thoughts on this. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. This is going to be what you're looking at on your screen. Again, get your free app today. Get it on Apple, Android. Hit yes to push notifications. And that's where you can keep up with all of our ministry and everything we have. Also, guys, if this ministry is a source of blessing to you, it informs you, it equips you, it encourages you, all of the above. We want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You could do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, through the website, right there on YouTube. There's places to do that. You can go to Cash App, Venmo, PayPal. There's so many different ways you could do that. Or you can do the old school check or money order, cash offering, whatever it is. If you're going to do that way, you can give by End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391 Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So guys, we're going to sign off for tonight. Remember, real quick, tomorrow we'll be with you as well on Thursday, January 16th. But on January 17th, which will be Friday, January 18th, and then 19th, there'll be no broadcast because the 17th will be my birthday. We'll be going out of town for the weekend. So tomorrow will be our last podcast, and then we'll be right back here on Monday night, Lord willing, of course, and we'll have our Monday night prayer. And again, that's always going to be 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. And again, always, guys, if you're listening outside of YouTube and you've not subscribed, did you know a lot of people will watch our stuff and they won't subscribe? You need to subscribe so you can come over here and be a part of these prayer segments live. And in our breaking news, when we do our breaking news segments, you can be a part of that too. Just all you gotta do is hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification, and then you'll be good to go. So listen, we love you guys. We appreciate your prayers. Again, keep us in prayer for Friday. We'll be leaving. We'll actually be leaving tomorrow morning around 10 a.m. Eastern. So we're gonna have a podcast ready to go for tomorrow evening. But until then, we appreciate you. We love you. We ask that you would keep us in prayers for Traveling Mercies. And again, thank everyone for their early birthday wishes. I saw many people are wishing me an early birthday, and I appreciate that as well. So to all of our partners, supporters, and prayer warriors of our ministry, again, we greatly appreciate you and we love you. And I think you know that. But I always want to reiterate that you'll never know how much you guys mean to myself and to our ministry and to everything we do here. So we're going to sign off for tonight, guys. We'll see you tomorrow on the next one. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.